pulls it over the line. Drouin is at the far circle. Backhander stopped by Price. And he pulls it back in and hangs on. Beaulieu has dropped the gloves. He's going to fight Paquette. And he knocks him down and hands him a couple of right hands. And a big pileup down there now. Boy, that escalated in a hurry. Nemesnikov, he will dump it in. Johnson gets to it, centers. Great save off Palat by Price. Another centering pass. Just past Palat. A bang-bang plays. Price's best save of the night.
The number of big saves he comes up with is pretty impressive, but again, not surprised.
And
you know,
not,
it's and makes not, it look easy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's weird because I don't know how that was the most exciting game ever played, but when you have two really good teams that can skate and check, and two teams are checking each other, so it took, like, who got the first one? Galchenyuk? That's a sick play he's got to make. That's on and off the stick. Not a lot of guys can do that.
Coburn beats him to it easily, and he can't clear it. Kept in right point by Petrie. Walks the line. A little spin move. Nice maneuver. Markov. And they score. Galchenyuk off a brilliant pass. Alex Galchenyuk. And we're tied at one. And he gets the turnover. He took it away from Garrison. Nice work. Pacioretty back to Patter. Fake the shot. Pacioretty scores! Pacioretty with a wrist shot. It's 2-1 Montreal. And it's sent to the blue line. A bouncing puck kept in by Hedman. His pass cut off by Mitchell. Torrey Mitchell wants to get to that red line. Shoots it. Scores. Mitchell with his fourth into an empty net. And the Canadiens lead it 3-1.
La deuxième étoile. The second star. Max Pacioretty. Et la première étoile. The first star, Carey Price.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit slow, but at the same time, it was pretty structured at the same time. It was like a chess game, so I don't think either team wanted to make that first mistake.
Welcome back. Welcome to the weekend, Friday afternoon. Hope you're doing well. It's Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690 until 6. Paul Hollingsworth at Wrigley Field for Game 3 of the World Series, which we will have for you live here on TSN 690 at 8 o'clock. We'll join us before 6, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you. Until then, Friday scrum edition of Habs Lunch replayed in its entirety between 6 and 7.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Old Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm good. Mitch, before we get going, Vince Papale, who played for the Philadelphia Eagles and the great Dick Vermeil, is a really good friend of mine. And the movie Invincible is about his life. Last night, I'm watching that game. And Dick Vermeil had a saying, and he used to say this to Vince all the time. There's effort, there's championship effort, and then there's eagle effort. And Papale, you give us eagle effort all the time. So last night I'm watching the game. The only time that I saw Canadians' effort, which means championship plus, was when Torrey Mitchell bats a puck out of the air, wins a race, and puts the insurance marker into the open net. If I'm Michel Therrien today, I'm making sure every one of my players knows that's what we need, unselfish, proud, fast, hard guys that want to win. That was awesome.
Tony Marinaro, after the game, talked about the tenacity displayed by Torrey Mitchell on that play. That was a perfect word, perfect description. You've taken it to another level now.
Well, I didn't know Tony did that, and hats off to him for doing that. But if I'm a coach of a team, and again, I'm being braggadocious now because I'm dropping names, Vince Papale is an amazing friend. He's an awesome human being. He doesn't make it to the NFL unless he has a heart the size of the state of Pennsylvania. And I remember him coming to Tromelon and hanging out with me and talking about this when I was training to be a pro player. And he used to work with me, and it was awesome. And I'm telling you, when I watched that, that's the first person I thought of was Vince when I saw Torrey do that.
So take a couple of steps back here, because I don't know if I've ever heard this story about Vince Papale and you. Was he a personal trainer? Or what was the relationship?
No. First time I met him, I think I was a sophomore in college, and he was giving talks about, he was like the modern day Rudy.
Right.
He's Rocky. He's, you know, you think about his story. It's an amazing story. And I met him at a speech and we talked and he came and watched me play and we started hanging out. And, you know, I used to go down to Philly. He would come to New Jersey. Then he would come to Tromblon and we'd hang out. And most of the time when I go to Philly, we're in touch all the time. But
he was a motivational speaker.
Yes, and he still is, and he's really good at it.
All right.
And he earned it. I mean, really earned it. He's a great, great man.
Like I said, everybody did their job. You know, goal scorer, Pricer made big save. And when we took the lead, the defensive guy did their job. So a lot of credits goes to my players.
Michel Therrien, post-game. Which kind of puts a bow on how you started, Pierre. That one with Tampa Bay here for a couple of days waiting for the Canadians, I thought that save that Carey Price made when they were trailing 1-0 on Palat on a power play early in the third, if it's 2-0, I don't know if they have the legs in the third period to come back. And they took over after that save.
Good hockey, man. You read that perfectly. The other thing, there was a save by Carey, but there was one other thing that affected the outcome of that game. Kucherov's injury, self-inflicted wound, hurts. It's a left body injury, clearly a left body injury. I don't know if it's shoulder, rib cage, collarbone. I don't know. I mean, has anything been announced? I don't know. That really set Tampa back. They were not as dynamic after Kucherov left the game.
No question, and he seems to always be a factor in these games, especially at the Bell Center. And again, for those who may have missed the game, there was nobody around him. He fell on his own, as Pierre said, self-inflicted. Yeah. Something happened. It looked like he was favoring his shoulder, but we don't know for sure, and they didn't talk about it after, did they, Mitch?
No, they didn't, and actually the reporters in Tampa Bay are trying to figure things out today after talking to the coach because they're really leaving it up to mystery. All they got out of the coach was guys have an opportunity to step up and play more minutes.
That's not a good storyline for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, again, they're going to be a playoff team. I think everybody knows in Montreal, they're really good. They respect Montreal. You heard that from John Cooper in his statements before I came on with Mitch Melnick. But that's a big injury for them if he's out for a long period of time. If, let's just say, and I'm playing doctor here and I shouldn't, but I will. Let's just say it's a separated shoulder. And let's say it's a second-degree separated shoulder. That's 6 to 8 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks. That's a lot of time.
Pierre, for those who were pointing out as good as the Canadians have looked early on, like a year ago, a lot of the teams they've played might not get in the playoffs, or they weren't in the playoffs last year. They shut out Pittsburgh. Their goaltender was the best player on the ice, but they shut out the defending Stanley Cup champs, and now they beat another team that is capable of winning the Stanley Cup. This, I know it's early, but again, assuming good health, this team's for real. This is a really good, competitive team. They have holes at playoff time, which you've talked about. But right now, this is a good-looking team.
Totally agree. Couldn't agree more. And hats off to Montreal's pro scouts. Radulov's been a good addition. As long as he keeps it on the rails, and it sure looks like he will. Guys are gravitating to him. They're enjoying playing with him. That's a huge story. The acquisition of Shea Weber, very good, especially with the way it's been handled by management, ownership, and the coaching staff, the way they're breaking him in. And again, Mitch, we talked about his ice time. I didn't like it
right early
on. Now look where his minutes are.
25.
His minutes, right?
25, right on the button.
That's where it's got to be, between 20 and 24 to 25. Again. That's it. Once it goes over that, I'm telling you, you're asking for trouble. But right now, they're perfect. When it's at 28, 29, 30, no way. You're going to beat the horse to death. And it's going to be no good when you need them the most. But right now, they've got it back where they need it to be. And the other thing, this is a team. Philip Deneau, Mark Bergevin deserves credit along with the pro scouts. Great acquisition. We told you last year. He's a way underrated player, very good depth player. You do not win without having the identity of team building. They are building their team appropriately. I give them full marks for this. Full marks.
He's really got hockey smarts, doesn't he, Philip Deneau?
Well, you can't. See, scouts, the really good scouts, they know that. The guys that get fooled by skill and speed, those guys fade away. The guys that have hockey sense, Patrice Bergeron was a second-round pick. Scott Bradley deserves so much credit in the 03 draft. Shea Weber and Patrice Bergeron were both second-round picks. Joe Pavelski was 205th in his draft year. Why are all those guys so good still? Because of hockey sense. Scouts have to be boot. No analytics here. Boots on the ground, people evaluating players and understanding of how the game is played. That's why Philip Deneau is a good player. He'd be an analytic disaster.
Go ahead, Rod.
You mentioned ice time with regards to Weber, Pierre. Through eight games, he's averaging now under 26, so the average is coming down a little bit. And I'm curious, when you're dealing with a veteran player, what's the best way to convince him or explain to him, if you want to take that route, that less can be more with regards to ice time?
I'm going to give you, and it pains me to say this, because I think so much of this player, Ryan Suter to me is a preeminent professional. And Ryan Suter and Shea Weber and Rod, you tell the people, we never rehearse these questions. I think about all these things when I evaluate players. Ryan Suter and Shea Weber were teammates and really good friends in Nashville. I would use the Ryan Suter tapes, and I would and listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling you, you asked me the question, I'm telling you the truth. There's a reason why Ryan Suter wasn't great the first few years in Minnesota after leaving Nashville. Too many minutes. Too many unforced errors, too many problems. I'd show Suter this day. He's playing too much. Here's why he's having a problem. Then I would show Shea his tape from last year's series against Anaheim. I would show him that. And I'd say, even though you guys were in a good situation, you struggled. Here's why. We have to cut your minutes because of that. That's what I would do.
If you want to play in June, you got to play less in October, November, December, et cetera, with the Pierre Maguire.
I'm not trying to be mean. Ryan Suter's a dear friend. I would do almost anything for that guy. I'm telling you, he's an amazing guy. He's a really good teammate. He's a good person, but he wants too many minutes. And I would now look at him now. Scott Stevens has gone in there. This is one of the best stories in the league. Scott Stevens has gone into Minnesota as an assistant coach to Bruce Boudreau. Hardly anybody even knows that. Scott Stevens basically has told him, here's how much you're going to play. Here's why. This is what I did, and you're going to do this. And that's what's going on. And that's why Minnesota's off to such a good start. Suter's playing great for them.
Did you know that Scott Stevens was working for Bruce Boudreau? Mitch Gallo?
Yeah, I've seen him on the bench there.
Okay. Yeah. That's because you watch hockey games. There you go. With Pierre Maguire, more on the Canadiens and a couple of significant line changes last night in a second. We also will announce our Expos Fantasy Camp winner before 6. And Paul Hollingsworth of TSN on-site at Wrigley Field for the World Series also coming up. Because you mentioned Weber and the time and all that, they are struggling in Nashville. And again, it's really, really early. They gave up 45 shots last night to L.A., and they lost the game in overtime. Earlier this week, Peter Laviolette was saying, we have to get tougher in our own end. He doesn't like their play in his end. And Mike Fisher today, Mitch Gallo.
Yeah, Mike Fisher today says, quote, we're not physical enough, and we're easy to play against.
Okay, so let's just be fair here, because you know how many games I watch. They got ripped apart in Anaheim. They got crushed in Anaheim the day before they played L.A. All right? L.A. and Anaheim are both really heavy, big teams. They are. They had no juice left in the tank last night when they played in L.A. They had nothing. And L.A. had plenty of juice left in the tank. And they went after them. Now, did Nashville get a point? They sure did. Pekka Rinne had to have a bounce back because he was terrible against Anaheim. He bounced back last night. He had a good game, and they got a point out of it. I wouldn't overreact to what's going on in Nashville. But one thing I would say about Nashville, and I mean this, Ryan Johansson, they need him to be a lot better than what he's doing right now. It's not about the defense. They need him to be a lot better, because if he can be better, that's going to help everybody else.
Back to the Habs.
You know, I enjoy playing with those two. Guys like that don't often get credit, but they're guys that everybody wants to play with. So, you know, in my book, that makes them great players and great teammates.
Max Pacioretty on playing with David Desharnais, which he's done before on Andrew Shaw. And after the game, Carey Price on Radulov and Galchenyuk on the same trio.
Yeah, they got a lot of skill. Their playmaking abilities speaks for itself. You know, I can see those guys putting up some pretty good points this year.
Galchenyuk, after the game, obviously said it out loud what he's alluded to before. He just loves playing with Radulov, and they seem to have obvious chemistry, and it was a matter of time before we saw them together. Radulov prefers playing the right wing, but he's, you know, big smile on his face after Galchenyuk scored. So all of a sudden, if you're an opposing coach, you got Pacioretty and Radulov on the left side for now. That's impressive.
Very dangerous to play against. Absolutely. You've nailed every single thing here, Mitch. So the one thing I would say, I love the reaction of Galchenyuk after he scored last night, especially the one-timer through the seam to the back of the net against Ben Bishop. I thought the reaction was so appropriate. But Radulov's enthusiasm has become infectious. It's hard for an older player to have that kind of enthusiasm, especially early in the year. But what you're seeing is how much he appreciates being in the NHL. He's had some rough rides in the KHL. He's really happy to be back in the NHL. I admire that. I respect that a ton.
Pierre LeBrun of ESPN, of course, TSN insider and regular on this show, spent the last couple of days here in Montreal talking to members of the Lightning. He's also posted earlier today a piece on Alexander Radulov and some background. Habs and Leafs tomorrow night. Mike Babcock's faith in his goaltender was restored last night anyway. You had Mitch Marner pick up 3 assists. Their first for the kids. Their first visit to Montreal on a Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada. How do you think they react? How do you think the Habs react to them?
Well, I was really impressed last night with Bozak, Van Riemsdyk, and Marner. That line was outstanding, and Mitch Marner was a big reason why. He was fantastic in that game. I thought Freddie Anderson really responded. The Leafs were down in that game, but Freddie Anderson came up with some huge saves in that game, so I admire that. What I'm seeing from Mitch Marner, I've talked about on a lot of different radio shows today, a player that I was part of drafting in Pittsburgh, Marcus Naslund, might have been one of the best playmaking wingers we've had in the last 25 years in the league. He played with Brendan Morrison and Todd Bertuzzi in Vancouver, and it was one of the best lines in the league. Brendan Morrison wasn't a number one center, but he sure acted like one because of the addition of Marcus Naslund on his line. I'm seeing that from Mitch Marner. I'm seeing the same kind of stuff. He's making Bozak, who's not a number one center, much like Brendan Morrison, look like a number one center. And Van Riemsdyk is thriving playing with Marner. Marner's a really good player. Toronto's going to be really fast. They're going to be offensively gifted. You got to be fit. I would be, if I were Montreal, I would turn my depth players loose on those skilled players from Toronto and just frustrate them, trying to take away all their puck handling ability. I just turned my depth players loose on them.
Pierre, when it comes to Marner, I remember being at the draft when he was taken 4th overall by the Maple Leafs. One pick before, Arizona went with Dylan Strome. It was kind of a debate between those two players. Everyone thought Marner maybe a little bit too small. How do you know at that time the difference between an undersized player that can play in the league and an undersized player that's going to put up fantastic junior numbers but never pan out?
I will tell you this straight up, Mitch Gallo, and you can ask Scotty Bowman. Never once was I told to get big players. I was always told to get smart players. I was always told to get guys that have one thing that's really exceptional in their talent base. And in Mitch Marner's case, peripheral vision and the ability to make the players around him better, that is an amazing quality. He has that. He might have that more than Dylan Strome does. Not that Dylan's a bad player. Dylan's a good player. But I personally would have taken Mitch Marner ahead of Dylan Strome. One other thing, a former Montreal Canadiens first-round pick, Mark Hunter, he's the one that picked Mitch Marner. And why did he do that? Inside information. He worked with the London Knights where Mitch Marner played. I will tell you this story, not because it's a positive one, but it goes back to the 1990 draft where Yager was 5th overall. We took Yager 5th overall. We took a guy, Ian Moran. Go look it up. Ian Moran in the 6th or 7th round. I think it was his 6th or 7th round. He played 11 years in the NHL. 11.
That's like Vince, Vince Papale.
He went to my hockey camp. I skated with him every day. I knew the character of the player. People laughed at us for taking him. He played 11 years.
He must have listened to Vince Papale.
But no, it shows you, you have to, all this analytics stuff, I guess we're going back to that again, stick it. Because you got to have inside information on players' character and heart. You have to.
So let me ask you, we've got to run here in a couple of minutes. With Austin Matthews coming in, you already said that you thought Connor McDavid would win the scoring title this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they're 1-2 right. They're 1-2 right now. Before 10 games are played, they're 1-2. What are the is there a chance that he? Who was the last rookie to win the scoring title? By the way, do you know?
Oh man, that's not.
He doesn't. He can't win.
I don't even know. I don't think. Did a rookie ever win the scoring?
I don't think so either. I'm going to check.
I don't think so.
But you think that the two of them, again, assuming they stay healthy, which McDavid didn't do a year ago. No.
No.
Okay.
No, I Austin. What's that? Poor Austin. I feel terrible for him. I love the kid, and I think he's a great player, and he will be unbelievably off the charts good. He's getting star treatment every night now. Nobody's giving him a free pass. He's going to accumulate by December 25th. He is going to accumulate so many bumps and bruises. The best thing that could happen for him, Christmas break. I'm telling you.
You're going to hear Gallo.
People are going to beat him up, and it's not because he's not tough. But they're going to target him big.
Gallo pounding away on the keyboards to find out the last.
No, I don't
rookie
think. I don't
maybe
think
maybe
this
it's
has
never happened.
Mitch.
So to conclude, Pierre, and again, Paul Hollingsworth at Wrigley Field prior to Game 1 of the World Series, and we're announcing the winner of our Expos Fantasy Camp contest. Since you talked, you started talking about Vince Papale. What did you think of the job Mark Wahlberg did in the movie?
I thought Mark was good. He doesn't look like Vince. Vince is tall.
Yeah.
Mark's not. But I thought, great. You know, I'm going down to Philadelphia tomorrow. My daughter's rowing at the University of Pennsylvania tomorrow, or actually on Sunday. But we're going down tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to watching her row there. The school kill, the head of the school kill.
Wow! So your daughter is a Ivy League rower?
Well, I hope. We'll see.
Yeah, pretty high achievers, huh? Pretty high achievers, the McGuires.
We'll see. But anyway, so I'm going down there. I'm going to be in touch with Vince tonight. So hopefully I'll see him over the weekend.
Enjoy all the games, Pierre. Great talking to you as always, and we'll do it again on Monday.
Oh, my gosh. What a great week, Mitch. Thanks so much. And for Canadians fans, man, your team's fun to watch. It's fun to watch them play. It was awesome.
Montreal in a rebound year. Absolutely. Anytime they play the Penguins or the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Washington Capitals, there's an element of, I guess, a statement game.
Everybody taking notice like a year ago. Bob McKenzie, of course, with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt on the morning show here on TSN 690.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwoods and the large Chino sandwich. Have your fresh toppings any way you like. Now only $7 at Dagwoods.